Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Next, go give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Let's go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Well, it's the end of the road for Nikki Haley, the former UN ambassador under Donald Trump, former governor of South Carolina. She is dropping out of the race today because Donald Trump dominated Super Tuesday. This, of course, was not a shock. The only question was why she was staying in, because the reality was that in every state, except for Vermont, Trump not only won, he won convincingly. In her home state of South Carolina, he beat her by about 20 points. He beat her 60 to 40. In North Carolina, he beat her 73 to 23. In Virginia, he beat her 63 to 34. These are all, particularly Virginia. Virginia is a moderate Republican state. That is not a left-wing Republican state. Or right-wing Republican state. And he beat her very soundly in that state. In California, he beat her 78 to 18. What this suggests is that she really had no shot at the nomination after Iowa. No one had a shot at the nomination after Iowa, as I pointed out, which is why Ron DeSantis dropped out early. It's also why Nikki Haley then stayed in the hope that she would win New Hampshire. She didn't win New Hampshire. She overperformed a little bit. And then she stayed in past that, mainly to, I think, put up a flag to the rest of the Republican Party that should Trump lose in November, she will be the leader of the opposition, ready to come in and take over. I think that's a misread of how Republicans think of Donald Trump. I think that even if Donald Trump loses in November in the general election to Joe Biden, it's very unlikely that the Republican Party is then going to swivel and turn to Nikki Haley, especially because Nikki Haley seems to be making the same mistake that Ted Cruz made in 2016 after losing the primaries to Donald Trump. You'll recall that Ted Cruz then went to the Republican National Convention and he said, vote your conscience. Instead of just endorsing Trump, he sort of left it up in the air, pleasing no one. He suggested to the Trump voters that maybe he wasn't supportive of Trump, and to the not Trump voters that maybe he was supportive of Trump, and he ended up winning no backing because of that. Nikki Haley seems to be playing the same game, which doesn't seem particularly politically smart to me. It's one thing for Nikki Haley to say, I'm staying in as an alternative to Trump because I think that he's going to lose. But now that he's the nominee. For her to sit outside and not endorse Trump seems to me a bit of political malpractice. According to the Wall Street Journal, Haley plans to suspend her Republican presidential primary bid in a speech on Wednesday. The former South Carolina governor and UN ambassador is expected to make an appearance to deliver brief remarks around 10 a.m. Eastern. Her decision arrived the day after Super Tuesday. She won only Vermont among the 15 states, and Vermont is basically Canada. She's not going to announce an endorsement on Wednesday, however. She's going to encourage Donald Trump to earn the support of Republicans and independent voters who have backed her, which presumably could theoretically be a vice presidential play. Maybe she's hoping that he picks her as sort of a unity ticket. But given his dominant performance in the primaries, very unlikely at this point that he feels the necessity to do that. So a lot of eyes are going to turn toward who he actually does pick for his VP. There are a lot of people who have been mentioned, ranging from J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, to Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina. We will have to wait and see. Donald Trump, for his part, delivered a Super Tuesday victory speech in which he triumphantly proclaimed that he was the nominee, which, of course, has been true basically since Iowa. Once he won Iowa, the thing was over.
We've watched our country take a great beating over the last 3 years, and nobody thought a thing like this would be possible. We wouldn't have Russia attacking Ukraine. We wouldn't have Israel being attacked. Iran, as you know, was broke when I was running things. They were broke. They didn't have money for Hamas. They didn't have money for Hezbollah. We had no inflation. Inflation is destroying the middle class. It's destroying everything. Inflation, if you look back over the history, hundreds of years back, it's called inflation. It's called a country buster. And that's what it's doing to our country. What's happened with inflation has been unbelievable. A lot of people say, a lot of experts have said the stock market's the only thing that's doing well, and that's doing well because our poll numbers are so much higher than Joe Biden's.
Okay, so all of that is true except for the last part. Nobody is really suggesting that the stock market is doing well because of the expectation that Donald Trump is going to win in November. The stock market is doing well because when you inflate the currency, people don't have any other place to put their investment money. If you put your investment money in cash, it loses value. So people have started investing in speculative stock bubbles, which is why the price-to-earnings ratios right now on Wall Street are completely out of whack, and probably we're experiencing a bubble on the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the New York Stock Exchange, for example. Donald Trump then went on to rip Joe Biden on migrant crime. Again, he's doing the right thing in this victory speech, which is put all the focus on Joe Biden. If this entire campaign is about Joe Biden is not going to win. Trump, I think, knows that. The only question is whether Trump steps on himself. He didn't do it last night, really.
We have the worst numbers probably in the history of the world. It's sad to see what's happening to our cities. Our cities are being overrun with migrant crime, and that's Biden migrant crime, but it's a new category of crime, and it's violent, where they'll stand in the middle of a street and have fistfights with police officers, and if they did that in their countries from where they came, they'd be killed instantly. They wouldn't do that. So the world is laughing at us. The world is taking advantage of us. 3 years ago, we were at a level, we were energy independent, we were going to be very shortly energy dominant, and today we're getting oil from Venezuela. Can you believe it?
Hey, again, he is not wrong about any of this sort of stuff. Now, the exit polls for Republicans showed that their top issue was immigration, which is not a surprise because it is, in fact, the top issue in the country right now. Even according to much of the polling data for the general American population, the reality is that immigration is a top issue because people are looking at the insane amount of illegal immigration under Joe Biden. You're talking about at least 7 million people have entered the country illegally while Joe Biden has been president. It may be all the way up to 10 million. We literally have no idea. And people see that as a crisis because it is, in fact, a crisis. So the exit polls showed that was the top issue for Republicans. Now, very often when you take exit polls, people will say the economy, but that's always vague. Nobody actually knows what that means. Obviously, in a Republican primary, people are going to pick the issue that is the most polarized issue because they're voting Republican. So it's not a shock they're picking immigration. But the reality is that according to a Pew Research Center survey taken just last month, it shows that immigration is a top issue for a huge majority of Americans. Dealing with immigration, 57% of Americans say that that should be the top priority this year is dealing with illegal immigration. And when it comes to immigration, Joe Biden is 20 points underwater. This, of course, is leading Democrats down a real rabbit hole here. They have two choices. They can either moderate on immigration or they can pretend that voters are out of their minds. Obviously, they're going to do what you think they're going to do. They're obviously going to pretend that voters are crazy and out of their minds. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, $20 barely gets you anything these days. You can't even fill your gas tank for less than $20. But you know what $20 will get you? From the cell phone company I use, Pure Talk, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. Pure Talk gives you the same quality of service as your current cell phone provider, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can switch to Pure Talk and keep the phone and phone number you currently use, or you can take advantage of their great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Making the switch is incredibly easy. Their U.S. customer service team can help you join Pure Talk in as little as 10 minutes. Choose to spend your hard-earned money with a wireless company that shares your values, supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and, you know, doesn't advertise on the fake news networks. Stop spending a ridiculous amount of money on your phone plan. Go to puretalk.com/Shapiro. Right now, my listeners get an additional 50% off your very first month of coverage. I've been using Pure Talk myself for years. They have a great tower network, which means their coverage is excellent. Plus, it's cheaper. Go to puretalk.com/Shapiro and get an additional 50% off your very first month of coverage. We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, $20 barely gets you anything these days. You can't even fill your gas tank or get a burger and fries for less than $20. But do you know what $20 will get you? From the cell phone company I use, Pure Talk, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. Pure Talk gives you the same quality of service as your current cell phone provider, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can switch to Pure Talk and keep the phone and phone number you currently use, or you can take advantage of their great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids, making the switch incredibly easy. Their U.S. customer service team can help you join Pure Talk in as little as 10 minutes. Choose to spend your hard-earned money with a wireless company that shares your values, supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on those fake news networks. So stop spending a ridiculous amount of money on your phone plan. Go to puretalk.com/Shapiro right now. My listeners can get an additional 50% off their very first month of coverage. That's puretalk.com/Shapiro. Again, start saving money on your phone plan today with people who actually like you. Go to puretalk.com/Shapiro and start saving. So last night on MSNBC, after the exit polling came out showing Republicans care about immigration, Democrats like Jen Psaki, who's the former press secretary for Joe Biden, were mocking Republicans for caring about immigration.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yes. Of course, I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Thinking,
build a wall.
Like, what?
Or maybe people are worried that illegal immigrants are going to show up where they live and might commit crimes. Or maybe they are worried about the vast cultural changes that could be wrought by importing millions of people who have no familiarity with American concepts of things like free speech and property rights. Or maybe they are simply worried about the fact that you are generating an entire economic underclass of people, many of whom will be dependent on welfare benefits, and many of whom are going to be lowering the wage base. Like, there are a lot of reasons why people in Virginia might be worried about illegal immigration. And again, Democrats are disconnected from this issue. This is the issue among the issues that Pew surveys in which there is the biggest gap between how Democrats think and how independents think. Forget about Republicans, independents. So according to the polling data from Pew, 39% of Democrats believe that immigration is a real concern, compared to 57% of independents and 76% of Republicans. That is a high number of independents who are deeply worried about immigration. And that number is up from 53% in 2023 and 49% in 2022. Democrats, meanwhile, are still stuck down in the mid-30s on this thing. When it comes to policy goals, again, independents look more like Republicans on a lot of these issues than they look like Democrats on a lot of these issues. And that's a problem for the Democrats. The White House, because they are stuck, as I've been saying, in this legacy media echo chamber in which the idea for them is double down on the base, they're ignoring all of this. So the White House yesterday, for example, they were asked about Laken Riley's murder. Laken Riley, of course, was the young woman who was killed at University of Georgia by an illegal immigrant. And the White House tried to blame Donald Trump for that. That dog is not going to hunt. The president of the United States is Joe Biden. He needs to close the border and everybody knows it.
Will President Biden publicly address Laken Riley's murder, allegedly at the hands of an illegal immigrant who was released by law enforcement multiple times on Thursday night?
We want to always, always be sure that we lift up the families who have lost their loved ones in that way. I would be remiss if I did not continue to say that Republicans rejected a bipartisan proposal that came out of the Senate. And so if they truly, truly cared about what was going on at the border, if they truly cared about this immigration policies and trying to fix that, trying to move forward in a step, in a way where we have a tough and fair law, they would work with us on it. They wouldn't listen to the former president, who is clearly telling them to reject, telling Republicans to reject it for his own political gain.
Again, if they think this is a winning political argument, they're out of their minds. And this, again, goes to the reality of today's modern politics. And that is, everybody in the media is convinced that the right wing has gone crazy and they've gone too far right and they're picking crazy candidates. And there is some truth to that. If you look at the last round of senatorial races, Republicans picked a bunch of terrible candidates in a bunch of winnable races, and then they lost those races. But Democrats are now doing the same thing. We now have a game of chicken in which both sides have decided to put the radical brick on the accelerator and then just aim the cars at each other. And the question is, who is going to pull away first before the cars crash? Whoever pulls away first in this case actually wins. It is not as though if you just continue along that path and the other guy pulls away, you win. It's the opposite. In fact, basically, this game of chicken is both cars are aimed at the cliff. Which side is going to stop before the cliff at all? Forget about close to the edge. Who's going to stop at all? The reason I point this out is because yesterday, Kyrsten Sinema, the senator from Arizona, who started off as a Democrat and then governed as a moderate Democrat in what is a moderate purple state. Arizona is a purple state. It was largely a red state. It had a state assembly and a state legislature, that state senate, that were both Republican, with Doug Ducey, Arizona governor, as a Republican until just very recently. And then the Arizona Republican Party decided they were going to shoot themselves directly in the chest by embracing every form of election questioning they possibly could, alienating every moderate in the entire state, and electing two Democratic senators and a Democratic governor, Katie Hobbs, who's a wet dish rag, over in Arizona. Now, the problem is that the underlying political character of the state of Arizona remains purple. There's a reason why, until very recently, both senators were purple to red senators. It was John McCain until he passed away, and Jeff Flake until Donald Trump basically destroyed him. And those were both replaced by Democrats. And so the Democrats who replaced them have had to govern from quasi the middle. So Mark Kelly, who's one of the senators, he's attempted to govern as sort of a bluish purple Democrat. Kyrsten Sinema was so purple that she eventually just went purple and decided to declare herself an independent. But then she decided not to run for re-election because the Democratic Party had basically cast her out and they decided to primary her. So instead of just having Kyrsten Sinema be an independent like Bernie Sanders who caucuses with the Democrats, which is what Kyrsten Sinema would do, they didn't trust her enough. So they decided to run against her, Ruben Gallego, who's a far leftist in Arizona. And so the polls were showing a pretty even three-way split with Kyrsten Sinema in the race. You had the entire Democratic Party behind Gallego. There's an Emerson College polling Hill survey that was taken just a couple of weeks ago, and it found that Ruben Gallego had 36% support, 30% for Carrie Lake, the Republican nominee for the Senate, and 21% for Kyrsten Sinema, 13% undecided. And so Kyrsten Sinema looked at that. So Democrats could have easily dominated this race. If they had just said, okay, fine, we're not going to run against Kyrsten Sinema. We understand she's an independent, but she's going to caucus with us. We're just going to stay out. She easily wins re-election in Arizona. She's a pretty popular senator. But they decided not to do that. And so now they're basically getting rid of her in favor of Ruben Gallego, which makes their race actually significantly harder because Gallego is not in the mainstream of Arizona politics. Did you know a baby's heart begins to beat at just 3 weeks? At 5 weeks, the heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. This can sometimes be a baby's only defense in the womb, because when moms who are considering abortion hear that baby's heartbeat via ultrasound, they're twice as likely to choose life. Preborn rescues 200 babies every day from abortion by simply providing moms with ultrasounds. By 6 weeks, a baby's eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby's elbows and knees are able to bend. Preborn needs your help to save these precious lives. Preborn is out there on the front lines. They're helping women choose life. Please consider sponsoring one ultrasound for just $28 and save a life today. Or if you have the means, consider a leadership gift of $5,000. That tax-deductible gift will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours and help rescue 200 innocent lives. Go to preborn.com/Ben to donate today. It's the most important thing you're going to do today, maybe ever, because saving lives doesn't get more important than that. Go to preborn.com/Ben. These ultrasounds are, in fact, life-saving. Moms meet their babies long before they're born. When they meet their baby, it makes it a lot harder for them to get an abortion. Go to preborn.com/Ben or dial #250 and say keyword baby. That's #250 baby. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, can you believe St. Paddy's Day is in a couple of days? Unfortunately, a lot of businesses have been down on their luck. Fortunately, if you are a business owner or hiring manager, you don't need luck to find top talent for your team. You need ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. ZipRecruiter's brilliant technology leads you to that pot of gold for top talent. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology shows you qualified candidates. Once you review your list of qualified candidates, you can easily invite those top choices to apply, so they'll likely apply sooner and you can fill that role faster. Aren't you curious to see how ZipRecruiter can help you? Today is your lucky day because you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter will get a quality candidate within day one. Once again, just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. ZipRecruiter.com/DailyWire. According to the Wall Street Journal, Sinema said she will not run for re-election and will retire after this term, ending for now the political run of one of Congress's most productive and controversial lawmakers, a centrist who forged bipartisan deals while also regularly angering progressive Democrats. This is a different thing, by the way, than Republicans basically saying to Mitt Romney, it's time for you to go. The reason that's different is because Utah is a deep red state. Utah is a blood red state. Arizona is a purple state. And for Democrats to get rid of a purple senator who is going to caucus with them in favor of a far left candidate like Gallego is really a fascinating turn of events. Now, if only Republicans had nominated someone who, for example, had not run for governor and lost and then claimed that she won for the last year and a half. Like that might be nice. But they didn't do that. They ran Carrie Lake instead. So it's Carrie Lake versus Ruben Gallego. Clash of the Titans over in Arizona. Demonstrating once more, whoever seizes the middle ground is going to win these elections. But both parties, in some cases, seem to be running away from the middle ground. Ironically, in the presidential race, it's Joe Biden who's running away from the middle ground and Donald Trump who's reaching over and grabbing it, weirdly enough. But in many of the state races, Trumpism has been read as a super right-wing, MAGA, very far extremist right movement. And so a lot of the people being nominated are people who are also abandoning the middle, which is not smart. See, the dirty secret I've been saying about Donald Trump is that he is politically moderate and rhetorically extreme. And so many of the people who have been running are politically extreme and rhetorically extreme, which is not what Americans are super into. And by the way, even rhetorically extreme only works for Donald Trump. It really does not work for anyone else. Donald Trump is a one of one. In the same way that Barack Obama for Democrats was a one of one, you cannot be Trump. There is no one who can out-Trump Trump. There's nobody who can even be in that same category. Trump is a stand-up comedian who became president of the United States because he's extraordinarily entertaining. He is camera magnetic. He is always funny. Like, all those things are things that no other politician can hold a candle to because he's in a completely different category. He's an entertainer who became a politician, not a politician trying to be an entertainer. In any case, Kyrsten Sinema being ousted from the Democratic Party and then retiring means that Democrats are also ousting the people who are supposedly reaching to the middle. Now, to be fair to the Democrats, with her out of the race, a head-to-head matchup between Gallego and Lake shows that Gallego's lead actually expands to 7 points, 46-39, with 15% undecided. So Lake is going to have to reach out to the middle if she wants to win that race. But for his part, Bernie Sanders is triumphalist about this. Bernie Sanders on the far left of the party is like, yeah, we are dragging the entire party far to the left.
Shortly before our rehearsal today, Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema announced that she will not be seeking re-election this fall. Obviously, a lot of people are going to miss her. Are you? How much are you going to miss her?
Not at all.
Crazy person. It says the crazed old goofball socialist. But that's the Democratic Party. They've decided they're going to cater to the Bernie wing of the party rather than the Kyrsten Sinema wing of the party. Joe Biden ran as Kyrsten Sinema and governed as Bernie Sanders, which is actually a really bad strategy, which means that he has kind of one final opportunity to put a new face on his presidency. That, of course, is going to happen this week with his State of the Union address. As Politico points out, the State of the Union may be one of the most vastly overrated speeches in all of politics, but not this year. The address Joe Biden is set to deliver on Thursday night will come as the president faces intensifying worries about his age and vitality and a host of confounding international crises and domestic challenges. That backdrop has dramatically heightened the stakes for the White House, with millions of viewers tuning in not just to hear the words he utters, but how he physically delivers them. And this, of course, is the key. The key is not to the State of the Union whether Joe Biden says anything memorable. When's the last time a president said anything memorable during a State of the Union address? They're all terrible. State of the Union addresses, I hate them. I hate them every single year. I don't care who the president is or of what party. They are a monarchic spectacle in which the other branches of the American government are expected to treat the president as though he is an emperor. The State of the Union was supposed to be a letter issued from the president to the legislature, giving them an update on things that were going on because government was originally really small. And then it turned into this pathetic imperial spectacle in which the president walks in and everybody cheers for him and kisses the ring. It's just ridiculous. It's a ridiculous, stupid thing. I hate it every single year. It's stupid. It's particularly stupid when you have a president like Joe Biden who has to be wheeled in on a gurney in order to make the statement. But it will be entertaining this year, as I've been saying for a long time since Joe Biden took the presidency. Watching Joe Biden speak is, in fact, quite exciting. Not in the way he thinks it is, but it's very exciting. It's exciting because it's like watching the Willander brothers, right? You're watching somebody cross a tightrope in windy weather above a volcano. And so when Joe Biden speaks, the big question is not going to be how well does he do? It's how badly he will do. There's no world in which he walks out and he is super charismatic and just absolutely fascinating, as rhetorically shocking. Somebody who you look at and you're like, wow, that is an inspirational figure. The question for Joe Biden is whether he is going to physically collapse on stage. Obviously, we'll be covering this over at Daily Wire Backstage. We're going to be covering it live tomorrow night, so make sure that you tune in over at dailywire.com for that. But the big question is going to be whether Joe Biden physically survives the speech, which means the expectations are quite low. It also means, unfortunately for him, that, again, the more visibility people get of Joe Biden, the less they like him. We'll get to more on this in a moment. First, football season may be over. Basketball action is still in full swing. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there is no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. If you want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley, you can now find Community Plays under the Promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community every week. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance, so your entries stay into play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you've got a player who exits the game in the first half and doesn't come back in the second, that player projection won't count against you. The rest of your entry stays live. Producer Jake loves Prize Picks. He likes the easy-to-use interface. He's been getting in on that March Madness action. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code Ben for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Use code Ben on the Prize Picks app for a first deposit match up to $100. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, nobody likes talking about life insurance. It's dark, right? You got to think about your own death. But here's the thing. Think about it. Get it done, and I don't have to worry about it anymore, and your family is taken care of in case, God forbid, you get hit by a bus. This is why you need Policy Genius. Find the right policy to protect your family today. Give yourself the peace of mind that comes with knowing that if something were to happen to you, your family can cover their expenses while getting back on their feet. Policy Genius's technology makes comparing life insurance quotes from America's top insurers easy. In just a few clicks, you already have a life insurance policy through work, but that might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It might not follow you if you leave your job. You need a backup plan. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. When they make it this easy, there's no excuse not to do it. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they're not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can actually trust their guidance. Save time, money, provide your family with that financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro or click that link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's policygenius.com/Shapiro. So Joe Biden yesterday was asked how he thinks he's doing in the race, and he said, "I'm winning. Here we go."
So, President, what's your message to Democrats who are concerned about your poll numbers?
My poll numbers, the last five polls you guys don't report, I'm winning. Five in a row. You guys only look at the New York Times. They're a great paper.
I mean, this must have been a scary moment for him because lurking in the background is his worst nightmare, stairs. But I will also point out at this point that that is not true. Of the last five polls that have been taken, he's losing in three of them. The only ones where he is winning, he's inside the margin of error. Those would be Morning Consult and TIPP. In virtually every poll before that, he is losing. So that's not true. Also, again, one of the reasons he is losing is because he is no longer with us. So yesterday he was doing a press conference and he does this weird thing where he says the stage directions out loud. Where, you know, if you've ever been to a play, there's stage directions and the stage directions are like exit, stage left. Okay, well, Joe Biden reads that, like, he'll sort of just read the stage directions aloud, be like,
"All right, now it's time to take some questions. I better not take questions. I don't know, okay, exit stage left. Joe Biden out."
Here we go.
I have a lot of questions. I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for number Tuesday voters? Yeah.
With whom? You're the president.
Tuesday, you. Do you have a message
Thank
for
you
voters?
Much. Thanks, come on.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
He breathes like every breath could be a death rattle. My goodness. He like picks up the microphone just to,
"I better not take questions or people are going to."
He needs like the Darth Vader suit. Like this is bad, guys. It's just not good. Okay. And then he said yesterday that his staff would drop him a note when it was drop dead time. Unfortunate language for the barely sentient president.
With that, I'm going to turn this over to Lael, the director of National Economic Council. But I'm supposed to leave for a meeting with the business roundtable on the telephone. But I'm going to hang around and listen a little bit. So with your permission, I'd like to stay if you and my staff will tell me when the drop dead hour occurs. They'll pass me a note.
What was that? What in the world is that?
I mean, I have a phone call on the rotary in a moment and then. I'm going to stick around just a little bit, yeah, if that's okay, with your pudding.
And that okay. The thing he actually campaigned on yesterday, oh, that's just him being ridiculously senile. But the thing he actually campaigned on, I'm not kidding you, is shrinkflation. So he believes that he is going to be able to pawn off his poor economic record on inflation on the greed of corporations that are putting less in the potato chip bag and charging the same amount of money, which is his fault. Inflation is your fault. You are the president. Inflation began when you entered office, my friend. But here he was yesterday. But he wasn't just talking about shrinkflation, which again, well, that's going to be a hell of a campaign slogan.
"I'm Joe Biden. I'm here to fight shrinkflation."
I swear, he sounds like Costanza talking about shrinkage here, except he's citing the Cookie Monster. Now, the open question in this particular clip is whether Joe Biden believes the Cookie Monster to be a real thing. like whether the Cookie Monster is a sentient being who walks around on the earth and eats cookies. Here is Joe Biden quoting the Cookie Monster. This is where we are, folks.
In fact, some of the small snack companies, you won't and think you won't even notice what they're doing. When they charge you just as much for the same size bag of potato chips, only has a hell of a lot fewer chips in it. I'll tell you who did notice, the Cookie Monster. He pointed out his cookies are getting smaller, paying the same price. I was stunned when I found out that's what actually happened.
No, I was stunned when I talked to Cookie the other day, and he said, Mr. President, C is for Cookie. And I said, oh, I do like cookies. And I said, Mr. Cookie Monster, can we be best friends? And then a little red monster showed up and also wanted to be friends. And then they put me under. And anyway.
Everything's going well. Get ready for 72 minutes of that tomorrow night. Woo! That's going to be some strong stuff. But it's not just that he's senile. It's that he's bad at this. He's bad. He's bad at the president thing. The most obvious place where he's bad at the president thing right now is in the entire conflagration between Israel and Hamas. Guess more on this in a moment. First, let's be real. French fries are the only good veggie out there, but unfortunately, they're not really a healthy vegetable. Balance of Nature, fruits and veggies. That's the most convenient way to make sure you're getting your daily intake of fruits and vegetables. You know, like the vegetables that count. Balance of Nature uses an advanced cold vacuum process that encapsulates fruits and veggies into whole food supplements without sacrificing those natural antioxidants. The capsules are completely void of additives, fillers, extracts, synthetics, pesticides, or added sugar. The only thing in Balance of Nature's fruit and veggie capsules are fruits and veggies. You need nutrients to function at your best each and every day. Balance of Nature helps you do exactly that. I've been traveling a lot recently. I used to get sick a lot from traveling. Well, now I've started taking Balance of Nature. I feel a lot healthier every time I hit the ground. Go to balanceofnature.com, use promo code Shapiro to get 35% off your first set of fruits and veggies, plus an additional $10 off every additional set that you buy. That's balanceofnature.com, promo code Shapiro. My whole staff's been using Balance of Nature. It's great stuff. Go check them out right now. Balanceofnature.com, promo code Shapiro to get 35% off.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
So the United States has continued to provide material support to Israel, but rhetorically, they've been undercutting Israel at every possible turn in their battle against a genocidal terror group. And they've been declaring that Israel should negotiate with this genocidal terror group, who currently holds 6 American citizens hostage, by the way, among the 134 hostages. We don't know how many are alive. And Hamas says they don't know how many are alive, which is amazing. I got to say, Hamas, they're incredible at counting bodies, but they have no idea how many hostages are alive. A bomb hits and 5 seconds later, it's 27,221 people have been killed, all of them children and all of them poets. And then they're like, sure, you know, it's been like 3.5 months since we took 134. We have no idea how many of those people are alive. Weird how your counting skills wildly degrade the minute that we are talking about the people who you are keeping in captivity and raping routinely, presumably. So the Biden administration has taken the rhetorical side of Hamas by proclaiming a moral equivalence. See, here's the thing. When you proclaim a moral equivalence between a murderer and the person that person is trying to murder, between the murderer and the victim, you're siding with the murderer. If you say, hey, hold up, here we have OJ and here we have Nicole. And sure, Nicole is on the floor bleeding. And sure, Nicole has a right to self-defense if she's still alive. But let's be real, there have been mistakes made on all sides. You're taking the side of OJ at that point. And that is what the Biden administration has been doing rhetorically, which, again, is the worst thing they can do. Because if you grant an iota of rhetorical sympathy to terrorists, they are going to push you. They're going to realize that they now have leverage over you. And that's what Hamas realizes. The number of lies this administration has either fallen for or told themselves on behalf of Hamas is insane at this point. So, for example, we've been hearing that Israel will not ship in aid. That's not true. Israel allows in hundreds of aid trucks every single day, but there's no one to distribute the aid. You want to know why there's no one to distribute the aid in the Gaza Strip? Perhaps because Hamas hijacks the trucks. Here is tape of Hamas riding around on the aid trucks. This is from yesterday. You see that? These are aid trucks. There are two members of Hamas on top of each one of these aid trucks. These are all civilians who are standing there being like, where's my damned food? And the answer is Hamas is stealing all of it. And then the Biden administration is like, what if we send them more? It says the Israelis are being so mean about it. Hamas is stealing the aid and they're killing people who are trying to get the aid. It's totally insane. But then Israel gets blamed. Rhetorically speaking, Israel needs to do more, says the Biden administration. Meanwhile, Joe Biden yesterday says, we need a ceasefire because of Ramadan. Okay, I'm sorry. This bullshit has to stop. What? It's so ridiculous. This is such ridiculous nonsense. Ramadan is a very holy holiday to the terrorists who are willing to literally violate every single other human being's religious scruples. On Ramadan, everybody has to go real easy because people are fasting between sunrise and sunset. Got to go real easy because it turns out terrorists, they love them their Ramadan in Hamas land over here. Got to be so easy on them because obviously these are people, we have to respect their religious scruples that dictate that they should murder pretty much everybody who is not a religious Muslim. Makes perfect sense because obviously they have demonstrated enormous, enormous credibility when it comes to respect for other religions. Like, for example, when the Palestinian Arabs were in charge of the holy sites, Jews can't get in. In fact, if Jews tried to worship at their own holy sites, when the state of Israel did not exist, for example, the Western Wall, giant riots would start like in 1929 and hundreds of Jews would be murdered. So obviously, if there is one thing that the radical Muslim world is known for, it's respect for other religions, which is why they literally blow up churches and build mosques on top of them or go directly on top of the Temple Mount and put the Dome of the Rock directly on top of the Jewish Holy of Holies from the temple. It's also why they go to Hindu sites in India, blow up the Hindu sites and put a mosque on top. Because if they're, again, when we are talking about colonialist religions, folks, there is one that wins. Okay, the most colonialist religion of all time is Islam. Okay, but that does not, there can be moderate Muslims. They're just not in Hamas land. There are many moderate Muslims. I know some moderate Muslims, you know, people who don't actually believe in the colonial legacy of Sharia law. But to pretend that Ramadan is the deciding factor in whether Israel should be able to go and try to take back its hostages and kill terrorists is totally insane. Again, demonstrating once again, radical Muslim sympathy for other religions. The last two major surprise wars that launched in Israel were launched on, respectively, Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar in 1973, and Simchat Torah, which was October 7th. Simchat Torah is the happiest day in the Jewish calendar. It also happened to be a Shabbat. It's like a double holiday for Jews. Perfect time for Hamas to respect the religion and Palestinian civilians involved to respect the religion of the Jews by killing 1,200 of them. But Joe Biden's like, Ramadan's coming. We got to be careful about Ramadan. Honestly, It's so stupid. You're not winning hearts and minds by trying to get a ceasefire on behalf of terrorist groups for Ramadan. Who's whispering in Joe's ear who believes this? Or does Joe just believe this in his adult brain?
Well, there's got to be a ceasefire because Ramadan, if we get into a circumstance where this continues through Ramadan, Israel and Jerusalem, again, it could be very, very dangerous. So we're trying hard for that ceasefire.
Oh, you mean that there will be, you know, acts of rioting on the Temple Mount like there is every single year, and then you'll blame the Jews for the acts of rioting by the Muslims on the Temple Mount? I've been up there, by the way, and the Muslim world then suggests that I am, quote unquote, trespassing or invading the Temple Mount, by which they mean I walk around it. That's what they mean. You're literally barred from praying on the Temple Mount by the Islamic Waqf. So long as you're a Jew or a Christian, by the way. If you're a Muslim, you can be up there playing soccer and eating McDonald's, which is literally what happens on the Temple Mount. There's literally a school in the corner of the Temple Mount, this very holy site to Muslims, where kids are playing soccer and flying kites. So, yeah, in any case, this is stupid. But what exactly does it mean? So the Biden administration, they're pursuing a ceasefire, and Hamas is rejecting every ceasefire. Hamas literally rejected the last ceasefire offer. That ceasefire offer was an offer for a six-week ceasefire in return for releasing the remaining female hostages. And Hamas rejected it outright. According to the New York Times, President Biden said Tuesday talks on a possible six-week ceasefire in Gaza are in the hands of Hamas right now. He spoke just before a Hamas leader in Lebanon appeared to reject a proposed deal the U.S. is backing, insisting Israeli hostages would be released only after a ceasefire was in place and Israeli forces have withdrawn. So Hamas knows they are in control because Biden wants the ceasefire more than he wants Israel to destroy Hamas. That is just the bottom line here. And so because of that, Biden is now shifting his line to mirror Hamas. According to I-24 News, while holding out for Hamas to accept a ceasefire and hostage release proposal, U.S. and Arab negotiators floated a potential short pause to hostilities while the larger deal gets ironed out. So what would that mean? That would mean calling for a ceasefire without any hostages being released, which is called losing. You think the Israelis are going to go for that? It's the most insane stupidity ever. It's ridiculously insane. And the media and the political class, they're like, oh, well, this is because Joe Biden doesn't get along with Bibi. This has nothing to do with Joe Biden and Bibi. Benny Gantz just visited Washington, D.C. He got the same exact treatment from Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. One of the great lies of foreign policy is that foreign policy is constructed based on individual likes and dislikes of the leaders of countries. It is not. It is based on the individual interests of countries. It doesn't matter very much whether you like or dislike Vladimir Putin or whether you get along with him or not. What matters is whether his interests are actually in coincidence with your own. And the same thing holds true with Israeli leaders or with Palestinian leaders. We ought to be absolutely clear and gimlet-eyed about the question of American national interest and the national interests of other countries. And this bizarre notion that America has some sort of disagreement with Bibi Netanyahu personally, and therefore they have to make some sort of concessions to Hamas, it's absolute stupidity. Meanwhile, by the way, Iran is activating all of its proxies. They know they have a fish on the line, and that fish is the Biden administration. So Hezbollah has been heating up because they know that Joe Biden wants one thing above all, and that is a ceasefire in the region. And so they are ratcheting up their military action in the attempt to gain concessions via the United States from the Israelis. So yesterday, for example, Hezbollah launched 50 rockets into the north of Israel. Now, any self-respecting country receiving 50 rockets across its border would then go and womp the people on the other side of the border. Can you imagine if the Mexican government, not the drug cartels, the government, because Hezbollah basically runs the government in Lebanon, decided that they were going to launch 50 rockets into San Diego? Mexico City would not exist the next morning. At the very least, you'd have Marines sipping tea from the capital. But here is what the video looks like on the northern border of Israel, where, again, 30,000 Israelis have abandoned their homes in the north because of Hezbollah threats. And there's widespread expectation in Israel that within the next 2 to 3 months, there will be a large-scale war in the north with Hezbollah, which is aiming 200,000 rockets at Israel. Here's what it looks like when a terrorist group fires rockets into another sovereign country. This is Hezbollah just launching rockets over the border at Israel. And it's only thanks to the Iron Dome. You can see the Iron Dome, which is being shot up into the sky to knock down some of these rockets. If it were not for Iron Dome, these would all be falling and killing people. The Biden administration, of course, is seeking ceasefires. Ceasefire, ceasefire, ceasefire. And because they are in hock to their radical base, this all goes back to that central contention. The Democratic Party has moved so far to the left that they can't see straight anymore at all. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, Russia has been in the headlines for weeks due to the actions of Vladimir Putin, obviously. To comprehend Vladimir Putin's motivations, we have to examine the historical context that shaped his behaviors. In the new season of What We Saw in Empire of Terror, host Bill Whittle unmasks communism by taking a close look at the history of the Soviet Union. With the use of deep-cut photographs and film, journal entries, and other primary sources, this tale of terror offers a compelling presentation on the horrors that plagued the Soviet Union and the viciousness of its leaders. Modern-day Russia has been centuries in the making. This series will give you a better understanding of its history, as well as communism that threatens our own homeland. Watch Episode 1, streaming right now at Daily Wire Plus. If you're not a Daily Wire Plus member, go to dailywire.com/subscribe. Become a member today. Again, go check that out. Bill Whittle's work is tremendous. It's absolutely amazing historical research and entertaining and interesting and fascinating. You're going to learn something. Go check it out right now over at Daily Wire Plus. Also, we have a new episode of Facts that's coming out this Saturday, so stay tuned for that on our YouTube channel or wherever you consume our content, the Daily Wire app, all about Russia, things you don't know about it, the current status of the country, their challenges, and whether their interests coincide with ours. Make sure you check that out on Saturday.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Okay, meanwhile, speaking of the Democratic Party captured by radicals, again, you can see the radical base of the Democratic Party is pushing Joe Biden to the left. And again, it is most obvious on a couple of issues. Immigration is one. The Democratic Party could easily cut a deal with Republicans or just enact executive orders in order to shut down the border. And they're not doing it because they're in hock to their radical base. You can also see it most clearly with regard to Israel and Hamas. This is the most morally obvious conflict in modern history. It is between a democratic state that was literally just attacked with the worst terror attack since 9/11 in the West and a genocidal terror group that is holding hostages right now. And suddenly the left is like, well, I don't know about that. It's pretty convoluted. It's pretty, you know, I don't know what I would do. This is why you get morons like Nick Kristof at the New York Times, a moral dunce, suggesting, quote, I get this question regularly, and I acknowledge that Israel faced a difficult challenge. It was hard to target Hamas without risking civilians. My answer is what I would not do is kill 31,000 people in Vancouver, including 12,500 children, and starve the entire population. The question was, imagine terrorist rockets fired from Vancouver into Portland, Oregon. What would you do? Okay, but you didn't answer the question. So your question is, I wouldn't do what the Israelis would do, but I will sit here and I'll pontificate like a giant jackass. This is the left. This is the left right now. So the left has decided that basically, if you are evil enough, this means you earn a free ticket to left-wing land. It's great. If you're evil enough, this suggests that you're victimized. See, in the victimizer narrative, the oppressor-oppressed narrative, whoever is the worst is considered the oppressed. Because remember, you have to link that up with the left-wing idea that everyone who acts badly is doing so because of childhood trauma and people being mean to them. That people are naturally good and naturally kind and naturally wonderful. And therefore, if somebody blows themselves up in a cafe and they take a bunch of kids with them, then that's probably because they had a really rough childhood. And so they are the victim, not the victimizer. They are the victim. The worse you act, the more evil you are, the more you have been victimized by outside forces. And thus, your actual victims are the victimizers. Complete reversal of victim and victimizer. The most obvious example of this is Judith Butler. So Judith Butler is one of the most damaging academics of the last 60 years. She is famously a founder of queer theory. She's a person who became famous by suggesting that all of gender is a social construct. There's no linkage whatsoever between your biology and your behavior. It's all a social construct. She says that the body itself is a social construct, that it's defined as all about power. She says that gender itself is a verb that constructs. It's a performance. Everything is performative. And gender is a, quote, struggle to rework the norms by which bodies are experienced. So for most of her life, she considered herself a woman. Now she says, thanks to gender non-binary nonsense that she helps create, she is a they, them. But she's really just a crazy lady. And this crazy lady, who is respected in academic circles because she writes absolute turgid gobbledygook that makes no sense to anyone with a sentient prefrontal cortex. This dolt is not just a moron when it comes to gender theory and her bizarre notions that gender is entirely constructed and made up and all the rest of this garbage. But that links up with her belief that terrorists are not, in fact, terrorists. So she was talking about the situation between Israel and Hamas the other day, and she decided to lay down a theory. Her theory is that October 7th, which involved the mass rape of women, the murder of men, women, the slaughter of children, the beheading of foreigners and Jews, the kidnapping of women and repeated rape of those women, that all of that was just an act of resistance. Because after all, you have to understand that what we are watching right now is the coalition of the pseudo-oppressed who have decided that any system in which they are unsuccessful, they are the victims, and therefore they can do whatever they want. When you link up that oppressor-oppressed narrative in which everybody who is a failure has been oppressed in some way, everybody who is evil has been oppressed in some way, you link that up with the Franz Fanon notion that resistance can come in any form, and that's how you end up with Judith Butler, one of the most evil human beings of the last 60 years. Here she was yesterday, justifying Hamas.
We can have different views about Hamas as a political party. We can have different views about armed resistance. But I think it is more honest and historically correct to say that the uprising of October 7th was an act of armed resistance. It is not a terrorist attack, and it's not an anti-Semitic attack. It was an attack against Israelis, and, you know, I did not like that attack. I have gone public with this. I have gotten in trouble for saying it.
Oh, you didn't like it?
It was, for me, anguishing. It was anguishing. It was terrible. However,
well, it made her feel
I would
bad
be very foolish.
However,
if I then decided that the only violence in the scene was the violence done to Israeli people, the violence done to Palestinians has been happening for decades. This was an uprising that comes out. It comes from a state of subjugation and against a violent state apparatus.
Oh, as opposed to Hamas, which is not a violent state apparatus, or Iran, which is not a violent state apparatus. It's the Democratic State of Israel, which has 20% Arab citizenry. That's the violent state apparatus, according to this absolutely ridiculous piece of filth. I mean, she's truly one of the worst people on the planet. Truly an awful human being. By the way, she says that she's associated with Jewish Voices for Peace. The best thing about Jewish Voices for Peace is the only actual word in that title that is true is of. They're not Jewish, they're not for peace, and they're not really voices for peace or Jewish voices. So none of that is true. So they're of. When she suggests, again, that narrative is the most dangerous narrative, and it's a narrative that threatens the entire West. This is why when people say, why should I care about what's going on far away? I get it. I do. I understand. Why should you care what's going on? But it's not going on far away. It's going on in your shores. Judith Butler is a famous American academic. Her work is taught all over the United States in gender theory classes. To your children. Her entire philosophy has been mainlined into the educational system, not just with regard to gender, but with regard to values as a whole. The postmodernist notion that all morality is effectively constructed, but there's a victim and a victimizer, and the victimizer is always the successful person, and the victim is always the failure, and that's because the system itself is bad. That's how you end up with genderqueer, nonconforming Judith Butler on the same side as Hamas, who would gladly chop off her head in a moment. Were she to be placed into the Gaza Strip. Now, they probably wouldn't chop off her head because they know that she's a wonderful, useful idiot for them. If they knew who she was, they would prop her up because, of course, she's very useful to them. But if they had no idea and she just wandered into the Gaza Strip, she would look like any other Jewish, lesbian, nonconformist left-winger. And they would chop off her head right away. Okay, so, but you have to understand why the alliance exists. The alliance exists, and it is a danger to the West. It is not just a danger to Israel. It's a danger to the West. There are millions of people who believe the softer form of what she is saying. And the left has patted this on the head. The left has imbibed from this well. This is the difference between the old school Democratic liberals and the far left Bernie Sanders wing that is taking over the Democratic Party. And it's all part of a piece. It is all part of a broader whole cloth rewriting of morality. See, typically when you speak of Judeo-Christian morality, you mean that in any given situation, we can determine whether somebody is a victim or a victimizer by whether they are in fact a victim or a victimizer. Have they done something wrong? Have they done something that violates morality? Have they done something that violates moral scruples and rules? But identity is victim or victimizer, according to the left. And the best way to tell whether somebody's a victim or a victimizer is whether they stand on behalf of the system. And success within the system means you're a purveyor of the system. The system is bad. The fundamental premise of all left-wing coalitional thought is that the system is bad and must be torn down. And so Hamas can end up on the same side as Queers for Palestine, even if they would kill each other, given the first available opportunity. It's the coalition that matters, Uber Alles. It's the thing that matters more than anything else. The system has to be torn down. And so when we talk about all of these issues that seem utterly disconnected, like transing of the kids and support for Hamas, you have to wonder, how do they end up on the same side? The answer is both want to tear down Judeo-Christian moral values. That is what they are about. And so when you see a symptom of that crop up, in the moral ambivalence about Israel-Hamas, that is a symptom of a much broader malady. And treating that symptom in isolation, as though it has nothing to do with the underlying malady, means that the malady is going to get worse. It's going to metastasize. It's like you have a symptom of cancer, and you just treat the symptom, but you pay no attention to the cancer. You're going to die of the cancer. That's the West right now. The bizarre left-wing support of Hamas is an amazing indicator of just how deeply rooted the cancer of radical left thought has gone. And it really has gone quite deep. Now, speaking of the cancer of left-wing thought, there's a video that's been making the rounds yesterday. And again, it demonstrates just how far left-wing thought can pervert people and destroy their lives. It is a mother who is talking about all four of her children being trans. This is statistically impossible. It is almost literally statistically impossible, meaning that your chances of a child suffering from gender dysphoria are one in several thousand. The chances of four children suffering from gender dysphoria, you're talking about one in hundreds of millions or billions. And yet, magically, this mother came up with four trans kids. So it's not Munchausen syndrome by proxy. It's not teaching your kids a bunch of absolute garbage that is going to wreck their lives and condemn them to a future of depression, anxiety, self-hatred, and self-loathing. No, it's all just it's all just being free. It's all just natural and free. And let's be real. It's an act of resistance. Bringing your kid up in this way is an act of resistance to the gender system. Because again, all systems are bad. The systems have to be torn down. Here's the video of mommy who is absolutely destroying the lives of her children. It's a picture of a little boy who's dressed as a girl. In 2022, our twin daughters came to us and told us they didn't feel the genders they were given were truly them. They're both boys. Our son told us he was transgender too. That's a girl. And our child told us they didn't feel like a boy or a girl. Four kids, each gender nonconforming. Has nothing to do with the parenting though. And then hugging your kids as they destroy their lives because you have indoctrinated them into this cult. I trusted them. And from that day on, our family changed in the most beautiful way. Wait until these kids are 20. She's hugging all of her, all the kids she's absolutely destroying. This is child abuse and child endangerment, and the kids should be immediately seized by CPS. I trusted them, and from that day, our family changed. This is about mommy. How do you know? Because she's filming it and putting it on the TikToks. That's how you know. Whenever parents film themselves with their kids talking about what wonderful parents they are because they're so tolerant and diverse, it's about the parents. People said we were crazy to listen to them. They're just kids. They don't know who they are. They do. No. You're crazy and you're wrecking children. You're destroying children. It's been 2 years today and my children are thriving. They are happy and free to be their true selves. I have a feeling that if they weren't happy, that you're never going to find out about that from mommy, since mommy is the one who's wrecking their lives. The reason to do this is not because you care about your kids. The reason to do this is because you're fighting the system. It's a political statement and your kids are just the rockets that you fire against the political system. All righty, guys. The rest of the show continues right now. We'll be joined on the line by Bill Whittle. He has a brand new series at Daily Wire Plus. If you're not a member, become a member. Use code Shapiro. Check out for 2 months free on all annual plans. Click that link in the description and join us.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit beddies.com. That's BEDDYS.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.